United Launch Alliance is the latest group lending its aid to NASA as it figures out the future of commercial spaceflight. NASA's Commercial Crew Development Program team is working to develop a new transportation system for the International Space Station, that is, to take pilots and astronauts there. That allows NASA to concentrate its resources on exploring beyond low Earth orbit. Phil McAllister is the acting director of NASA's Commercial Space Development. He joins us live now to explain how these partnerships are helping to develop the future of spaceflight. Mr. McAllister, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
So tell us about the agreement with United Launch Alliance and what will this cover? What will it do?
United Launch Alliance has a rocket called the Atlas V, and a lot of the spacecraft developers that have spacecraft in work have expressed an interest in using the Atlas V to launch their spacecraft with crew on board to the International Space Station. So this agreement with United Launch Alliance will help them identify safety issues, any hazard issues, anything that they need to do to eventually get to certification, which will allow them to put NASA astronauts on that rocket with a spacecraft on top.
And just to clarify, the Saturn V is the really, really big candle, right?
The Saturn V is actually the rocket we used during the Apollo days. That was the moon rocket. It is no longer in production, and we don't have that rocket available anymore. This is the Atlas V.
I'm sorry, Atlas V, but that's a really big one too, right?
It's a fairly large rocket. It's called an intermediate class launch vehicle, and it's a good class size rocket to launch spacecraft with several crew member on board. So it's a good rocket. It's got a long history of reliable launches. So I think this agreement is going to be very good for both NASA and United Launch Alliance.
Now, I want to make sure I understand it. It's called the Unfunded Space Act Agreement. What exactly does that mean, and how many more of these can we expect to see in the coming years?
Yeah. That's a good question. It's sort of this acquisition lingo. Earlier this year in April, we signed 4 funded Space Act agreements with various companies to help mature their designs for crew transportation systems. The United Launch Alliance was not selected at that time, but this is an unfunded agreement. So United Launch Alliance decided that they wanted to continue maturing the Atlas V, getting it ready for eventual certification. So this agreement is an unfunded agreement. It's a partnership between United Launch Alliance and NASA to help mature that Atlas V design and get it ready for eventual certification, again, so that we can put astronauts on that rocket.
So that means still to be developed is what you stick on top.
It
actually
that is
has
correct.
The astronauts
yes.
in it.
Yeah, that's a good point. This is just the launch vehicle. On top is a spacecraft that will actually house the astronauts, and that goes back to the earlier question, how many more of these can we expect in the future? We don't really know how many. NASA is open to and available to sign future agreements with as many companies that are actively developing these crew transportation systems. So right now this is the first unfunded agreement, and we have 4 funded agreements that we signed earlier this year. And in the future, who knows?
Well, given that this rocket is, I presume it's round, and it has a certain diameter, how much variability can there be in the designs for what goes on top to carry the astronauts?
Yeah, there can actually be quite a bit of variability. We're allowing each one of these companies that are under the funded Space Act agreements their own design. They're going to own the design. They're going to make the decisions on how it's going to operate, and that allows them to bring a lot of innovation into the mix. And so within the 4 that are funded, we've seen 2 capsules that look very much like the Apollo capsule, except smaller. We have one that we call a biconic shape. It looks kind of like a gumdrop. It's similar to a capsule, but it's a little bit elongated. And then a 4th one is actually a winged body. It looks a little bit like a mini space shuttle. So even within those 4 concepts, you see very, very different solutions and very innovative features that American industry is bringing to this problem.
We're talking with Phil McAllister, the acting director of NASA's Commercial Space Development. It just seems like not that the mission is shifting, but how you're able to achieve the mission is shifting a bit. NASA really partnering more with the private sector to bring these plans, these missions, this dream to fruition.
That's exactly right. Historically, NASA has owned the design, has made all the decisions about the spacecraft and how it operates. In this new partnership, we plan to say what we want, and we allow American industry to decide how they want to do that. We think it's going to be more efficient, more cost-effective, and that's what we're really looking for. We're looking for routine access to space these days. The space shuttle was an amazing, amazing vehicle. It had some significant capability, but unfortunately, it never achieved the goal of really routine access to space because it was complex and it was very costly. So with this new public-private partnership, we hope to have very efficient designs that are very cost-effective, that are owned by these companies, so that they can sell seats to low Earth orbit, not only to NASA, but to other customers, private citizens, other researchers, anybody who wants to go to low Earth orbit. And that'll reduce cost to NASA eventually also. So we think this is a real win-win for everybody.
I'm trying to figure out how really different this is in reality from the old way, not so much the shuttle, but say from Apollo, because that was somebody outside of NASA designed those original capsules. And weren't they constructed by contractors also?
They were. That's a very good point. I would say that in terms of who's building it, there isn't that much difference. Private industry has always built every spacecraft NASA has developed for its human spaceflight missions ever since Apollo, and even before that, the Mercury program with NASA overseeing the design. The difference here is that NASA was intimately involved in every decision about how that spacecraft was going to operate. We signed off on every design decision. We owned the ultimate intellectual property. In this case, we're letting the private sector bring their own business development model to this problem, trying to figure out innovative solutions. We're not going to be dictating how they're going to be doing it. And again, eventually we hope that the private companies will be able to sell these services to other customers, which would eventually bring prices down for everybody.
But you do need to certify that it's safe, so NASA can't be totally hands-off here.
That's exactly right. We are going to be very involved through a process that we call InSight, whereas we are putting NASA personnel on the factory floor at each one of these companies so that they can see the test results, they can see the analyses coming across. They can't tell the companies what to do, but they are going to be very informed about how the system operates and its safety margins, and then eventually the company has to come forward and say, here's how we plan to meet your requirements, NASA. And NASA will still have to sign off on that certification process. So from that standpoint, NASA is still the final arbiter of safety. We're not going to be relaxing or reducing any of our safety requirements. They're going to be the same safety requirements that we apply to a traditional NASA-developed vehicle. We're just doing it in a slightly different way, and we hope to be more efficient also.
Does that mean that the onus lies with NASA if something goes wrong, and at the same time, the glory goes to NASA if something goes right?
I think we're going to have to figure some of those things out as we go forward. It's not exactly clear if it would depend on the type of anomaly, on the type of accident, if there was some sort of mishap going forward. But we can say for sure that the private sector will have more responsibility for owning, operating, and developing these spacecraft.
All right. Well, I think we want to say thank you for joining us. That was a pretty interesting rundown, and we wish you luck with that.
Thank you very much.
Phil McAllister is the acting director of NASA's Commercial Space Development, and you can find links to more information, hear this interview again at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.